Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of A Whole New World. In today's episode, I'm in conversation with Kristen Kanathakaran. She is a full-time traveler, adventurer, as well as a creator and advocate. Originally from Philippines, she is currently based in Ivano-Frankivsk, Ukraine, where she is currently volunteering as an English teacher for an alternative learning school. She is on a mission to touch lives through sustainable, ethical, as well as accessible travel by embarking on an epic hiking and hitchhiking adventure, solo, unassisted, and with a third world passport. As Kristen is currently based in Ukraine, and as one of the after effects of the war, Ukraine has been constantly going through power cuts. So while we're recording this episode, unfortunately, the internet may not have been the best. Unfortunately, some of the things that she says has been cut off, but I still hope that you can take away a lot of things as I did. In this conversation with her, I was able to learn so much about her life, her journey, as well as herself. I had so much fun, and I hope you can enjoy and take a lot of inspiration from this episode. Hi, Kristen. Welcome to A Whole New World. I'm so glad that you're here despite all the challenges and the circumstances that you're in. And I'm so glad we could make this happen. Welcome.
Sam, thank you so much for your patience and for being so flexible. I really want to thank you because by inviting me into your platform, you are also giving me other people the voice. You're amplifying the causes that I add. And for that, I really thank you. I'm really honored to be here.
Great. Thank you so much. That means a lot. And I must go back how I discovered you because it's quite an interesting story. I think it was back in 2020, when Clubhouse was really popular. I don't know if you're still using it, but I don't use it as much. But I was there pretty much most of the times. And I used to be in this group or a room. I think it was for solo travelers or something. So a lot of travelers, digital nomads would just like come together and speak about their experiences. And I remember like one day I was just tuning in. Then I was like hearing your story. And you were talking about how you come from a country that has a weak passport, but you're still traveling around the world. So that kind of intrigued me. And I was really interested. So I went and I started stalking you, basically. So I was like, I went through your socials. I went through Instagram. I was like, this is a really interesting girl. So I started following you since then. And I've been following you since then. And I think it's the things that you're doing is like really amazing. And you have a great story to tell. So that's why I was like, maybe I should definitely get you on this podcast. And I really want to hear more about your story because I also do not know a whole lot, like my audience. And so walk us through your journey. Like, how did you start traveling? When did you want to start traveling? And like, how did all that start? Like, just give us a quick rundown.
Yeah, sure. Actually, I've always dreamed of traveling the world. That's the first thing. I remember when I was a little girl, of Giza or Rome, and I was like making all of these collages, you know, these artworks,
yeah,
and always looking forward to the day we see these places. Spoiler alert, I still haven't, and it ties back again to the past. And I've always wanted to learn about other cultures, life in other continents were like, you know, a family of adventurers. My grandma had to work in Hong Kong as a domestic helper. Had to work and travel abroad. So a necessity, then a leisure, and to break that. Mm-hmm. And back home, a lot of expectations weighing me down. Like, you know, I was the eldest and the only child of my mom. They were expecting me to become like this lawyer with a 9-to-5 job, you know. It's what we made them happy. And I followed into that footsteps. I went to the best university just to be able to get there. I got a lot of positions when I was in university. I was the editor-in-chief of our college publication. I was of our journalist union, like campus journalist union. I was a lot of things, but I was not myself. And all of my life I've been living, it comes from the very beginning, like my father didn't really have these expectations of me, and I was always striving to become the perfect daughter.
Yeah.
Like filling my cup with so many things. I was in was dancing, I was speaking in different oratorical aids and in different quizbees, be it spelling or history. I had all of these, like, you know, achiever qualities. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it wasn't me, it was other people's dream.
Yeah.
I decided that, you know, all of my life I've spent living for other people.
Right.
And giving to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Never felt like I was enough. I always felt like it was really breaking me, up to the point where I was 16, and trigger warning, like, if you have any depressive or suicidal tendencies, you can skip this part. But I tried ending my life by jumping in front of a truck. I tried in the bathroom. I wanted to just fade into the void and to choose to live. I decided to not go to law school,
mm-hmm.
fulfill the wishes of the people around me. Gap years aren't very popular in the Philippines. I started traveling in the Philippines. I back, and then I went abroad in November 11, 2017 to Cambodia, and I fell in love with travel. I realized that this is where life is for me. You know, some people have life in their careers. Some people have life in motherhood or fatherhood. Some people have life building a business. But for me, it was travel. And the decision of living. And I wanted to find happiness. That's what motivated me. First refused because I was done waiting for people to, you know, make me happy, to take care of, accept me. I needed to do it myself. And after that, I had all of this, like, happiness and fulfillment, and it has led me to being able to make others happy too. And so two steps of it.
That's such a great story, and thank you for sharing your experiences. I know it's not easy talking about stuff like this, and I feel like, again, when you speak about, you know, having expectations, and especially like coming from a country like Philippines or even like where I come from, it's not like travel is not a concept at all. Like, nobody dreams of traveling. Nobody has ever thought about it. Like, people only travel because they have to for their career or to just like make their ends meet. And it's not a leisure activity, as you said. And I think that is something that just like fades into the conversation when, you know, I hear so many stories of like Westerners traveling around, and they have, it's just, I think it's relatively easier for them because, you know, I hear so many stories where people are like, oh yeah, I was like bored of my life. I just like packed my bags and I went. But for us, I think there's like so many things that we have to think about, like when you come from a country, you know, that is not a Western country or that is not well developed. I think there's just so many things that you have to think about, like your family expectations and your career and all that. And like, we usually just take the safer route, and that's like most of the people do. And I have struggled with this myself as well, like many times when I, you know, I think about traveling the world. But for me, it's like, I, for the longest amount of time, I used to think like, this is not possible for me because where I come from, that this, it's just not possible. And so like hearing about your story, and I've met a couple of people like you, and there are not a lot of people like that. And at least like, at least in my sight. So just hearing that just gives me more inspiration, and, you know, I think just sparks something in me that just makes me feel much hopeful about travel and like it's, and just understanding that it's accessible and it's something that you can still achieve. Appreciate you sharing that, and such a beautiful story. And so like, despite the things that you have done, and I think the travels that you have had, did you have to face any challenges throughout the process? Like, I know that you've hitchhiked a lot, and like, hitchhiking for me still is something that I am kind of scared of. And I honestly, because like, I'm speaking in the context of the US, I don't know outside the US, but it's not something that normally people will do, and especially like women, because, you know, there are dangers attached to it, obviously. So like, did you ever fear at all? Like, did you ever, were you ever scared that something might happen or something might go wrong? Or like, what was the whole experience like for you?
Okay, like, danger is everywhere. The thing is, as a woman, you could get assaulted.
Right.
And marital rape, domestic abuse, even as a man, you know, you could get outside of your house. Yeah. You can get mugged on the streets, on your neighborhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think in life, we pick our risks. We navigate them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be lying if I said I'm never scared, right? I'd be lying, and I'm not a liar. I'd be lying if I said, I've never seen, and when I hear noises outside my tent.
Yeah.
And then it's just a squirrel. I'd be lying if I said that I'm not scared. In the middle of nowhere with like a male driver, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Where we choose our risks. And I have a lot of things to unpack about this actually, because, you know, sometimes the world is a really scary place when in fact, like in all, I think about like 90% of the people were really nice. And at the end of the day, we all just want the same things. We might speak a different language. Have different understandings of the world. We might have different dreams, right?
Yeah.
You feel joy, you feel pain. We have similar dreams. We want to be healthy. We want to be right. And I think humanity is really connected.
Absolutely.
And in my adventures, I found out that even if we're a continent apart, and it's so amazing to see, and in the kindness of strangers. Yeah. It's what hiking, but right. Again, like, you know, means unsafe for women. And there are some incidents where, I don't know if you've been following me for like quite a long time. I was hitchhiking throughout Thailand. And again, you have been sexually harassed or a victim of any rape or attempted rape. Picked up by a 17-year-old boy. And he said like he could give me a lift at the back of his motorbike. I felt like there was something wrong actually during the entire ride, because he was trying to scratch, he was brushing against it, and it was uncomfortable. And he tried to rape me. And luckily, I know a little bit of self-defense. I used my free diving skills to be able to breathe, like to control my breathing, to keep a branch off a tree, like a really big branch. At the end of the day, he didn't win. He fled the scene safe. But come to think of it, every female traveler can do it. Still being here, it's my battle to not want the people, especially the men who make it dangerous for women, to stop us from being who we really are.
Right.
To them. And if we can show to other women that we can rise up, you know, it's a way for us to win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things that make us happy, we're not letting them take away our right. So yeah, of course, there are some risks. Would these negative experiences outweigh coming hearts, homes, and hitchhikes that I've been with me as one of their own? All of these cultures I've been introduced to, all of these embrace me as a daughter, a friend, a sister, a cousin, on. I don't think that these bad people can outweigh the. And if we just give people a chance, you know, while also, I think that, you know, the danger isn't as scary as it's kind of just a balance.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, that's it.
Love that. And thanks for sharing that story. I think I don't think I was aware of it. And until you told me right now. So that's really unfortunate that happened. And I really truly believe that, you know, you're right, because there are like 90% of people are good. There's just like a couple of them who have ill intentions. And I think it's always important to look it from that way and not being held back. Because I know that me, myself, many times, like being a girl, I've like not done things that I wanted to do just because I thought it's not safe for me. So I think like hearing that, and it absolutely makes sense. And also I think it's so important for any girl to learn self-defense skills, especially if they want to travel around. And I think and not just like for traveler, I think on a day-to-day basis as well, because I think we as women, we are always surrounded by we have more chances of being prone to any danger. So I think it's so important to learn self-defense skills. So I think I absolutely second that. And and as you said, I also truly believe in the fact that, you know, everyone is connected no matter what language they speak. And I've always believed in this idea. And I think I only realized it when I moved away from my own country, because I didn't know what was out there. I never thought you'd be able to relate to people from other countries, and that's what truly excites me to this day, is that just connecting to people around the world. So I really love that. And I just love that I can relate to you on that level. And I think you are really brave for doing the things that you do. And honestly, that just like is such a learning curve for anyone.
And I think, do you want me to tell you something, like to add to that story? After that rape incident, I hitchhiked the very next day to the Malaysian border.
My God. And
I needed to keep going because I'm not going to let them win. You know,
you are a trooper.
I'm not going to let them take this away from me. I've never fought but this adventure. And I've been through a whole, going to let society take away what I really feel happy about. That's what I really want to say.
That is really courageous, honestly. Like, you know, I used to think that I'm a little bit brave, but like hearing your story, I think I'm nowhere. I feel like you have done way more. And I think that is so true. Like, we hold ourselves back and let, you know, just to keep ourselves safe. That's so right that you can't let people get in the way of your happiness. And, you know, I really love that you're so determined and equally brave. And see, this is the thing that we miss on the travel story of people. I just feel like nobody talks about the bad stuff. And there's just more to, you know, being a traveler. And I think like stories like yours is what I really wanted to hear more of when I started this podcast. And I'm so glad I can hear that today. And thank you so much for sharing it. The next question for you, I think from my side, would be like, I know you have traveled around. So what has been your favorite memory of it all? And which country is like your so far your favorite, or which place really like sticks to your memory as one of the best places that you've ever been to?
Oh my God, this is like the toughest question. Like it all never gets easier. You know that? Every country has a special place in my heart. I don't play favorites, actually. I would say what really stood out to me was mostly because that was where I really became a hitchhiker.
You know?
It was the place of what I call my rebirth. Because I started traveling, like packing hostels, dorms, buses, you know, my first month. And I was never planning to travel for to come back home and to reconsider going to law school.
Yeah.
Return ticket. And I decided to keep going. You know, I haven't been home. And it's because I don't want to waste all of
them. Yeah.
And the thing is, started hiking and hitchhiking there with no aim. I didn't want to see the pagodas, you know, I didn't see touristy sites. I didn't want to see those. I wanted some touristy Thailand, you know, and Cambodia to show me that. I wanted to see it. I want to see it about your country. What stories do you have? How can I learn from you? You know? And I started hitchhiking and telling drivers, like, I was trekking in, like, you know, some trekking routes, like in Hapaan. It was amazing. Like, you know, I didn't want to finish a trek in and have a tour guide. And I was, like, you know, picking chili from the farm or village on the top of a mountain, learning how to cook some Myanmar dishes. And it was amazing. Like, this country would be randomly hitchhiking in a truck that led me to an annual mountain festival. So it was just like randomly looking for a ride. I saw this, like, you know, these big dump trucks where they usually put garbage. But instead, in this case, because it's a mountain, garbage, like coal, rocks, you know, these kind of things.
Yeah.
I rode there with a bunch of people. I have no idea. And the locals were looking at me funny because, like, okay, there's a tiny girl with a big... Why is she going with us? It's not even on a tourist trail. And they took me to this mountain village where I just was actually their mountain festival. And it happens once a year. And so all of the tribes from the mountains, you know, including this like fable about them, like the one with the neck rings. Long neck rings. Yeah. They're quite famous in like Thailand and Myanmar, by the way. I got the chance to meet them. I got the chance to celebrate, to get to know their culture in a whole different level and then hear about until I came there. Well, it was like a really, really small religion, where the men were dancing in front of totems, like having gongs.
Wow.
I didn't know about it until I reached there. I never tried corn wine in my life until I reached that thing.
Right.
it almost seems as if it was magic. And people close to me, like, they were like fighting over them. Three lunches, three dinners. And it was really crazy because, like, during the performance part in the evening, like, one girl, she requested, she was a university student, and she requested that I sing Selena Gomez's I Love You Like in the middle of the Myanmar mountains with trying to sing I Love You Like a Love Song version because the band was a rock band. And it was crazy, but, you know, do it perfectly. But the locals were having a good time, just happy about it. And I got to meet so many people. I even met this girl. Her name was Bernadette. She speaks English because she's a Christian.
Right.
It's not like this evangelical, like, oh, you should convert now. She was just a missionary. She spoke to me in English and she was translating most out of this experience. And after that, I hitchhiked to another village where I call it Mama's Village. So it's Mama. The lake and enjoy a sunset, you know, swim in the lake. But I ended up being with, like, you know, other people, like these kids, like these cookouts, you know, these barbecues. Outside. And Mama, one of the residents of the village, right, in this cookout, and they said, like, maybe you want to stay, like, for the evening in my house, you know. And we had the most beautiful sunset in Myanmar. Blue water, the green grass, the green mountains, you can see it around you. And, you know, these yellows, oranges, pinks, and in the sky, a million different shades, and the laughter of children around you, getting to swim in this beautiful, like, lake. And, like, I was really so alive. And that, you know, after knowing sadness for a long time, the moments where I felt like, is it possible to be this happy? And to cap it all off, two kids, they were a fan of Filipino TV series.
Oh, that's
they were, like, I was really surprised. It's a very remote village.
Right.
Maraming salamat ate, which means thank you. I was embracing their culture and they were embracing mine. It was just a lovely evening that was spent. These people to dress me in a long yi, which is the sun cream of Myanmar. Like, it's coming. They were trying to put that on me and it was beautiful.
Yeah, that sounds like a...
2 days? Yeah, it sounds like a dream.
It does sound like a dream. It sounds really... I guess while you were telling everything, I was like imagining it and I was like, oh my God, that sounds really amazing.
Yeah, and it changed me, you know that? It really changed me. It taught me that this is the style of travel that I...
Yes. Yeah.
Not a lucky hotel person. You know, I mean, I could stay really... What gives me joy is the spontaneity to people into their homes, into their cultures, arts. That's the, for me, I'm really happy about it because, you know, I could have gone down like this. Oh, I have the choice to do so. But no, it's for me, this is not the way.
Right.
And there's no wrong thing with doing. For me, it gives me really a richer experience. And that really allows me to be like a local in the country, which is my goal for every place I go to. So
that's absolutely true, because I always feel like you do not get the best experience unless you, like, talk to people, meet the locals. I think that's the best way to get good experience out of any travel. And I think I absolutely agree with that, and thanks for sharing that. That's really an amazing. I really was transported to a different place. I was like, I could just keep hearing your story. It's so good. But yeah, I also want to keep the time in mind. I know you have such great, amazing stories, but I have another question to ask you. Like, I know that you do a little bit of sustainable traveling also, and I also want to, like, I don't know a whole lot about that. So I think just before we leave this call today, I just want you to say, like, any final words that you want to share to your audience, anything that you are doing right now or you want to do going forward, and any tips or tricks that you have for any female travelers or anyone from any unconventional background that may think that, you know, I'm not privileged enough to travel. What tips you have to share with people and any advice that you want to give out? And also, if you could just talk a bit about sustainable traveling and how you are doing sustainable traveling and if you have any hacks for sustainable traveling, so that would be great.
Okay, so let's tackle first, like, because this is a lot of like things, like talking about travel, like sustainable travel, these are two different like things that I advocate for. So my journey and my adventure is all about combining it with advocacies, you know, not just experiencing the way to see it and transforming it through belief that travel is a privilege able to change the world for the better. The communities that we meet along the way, or the planet that we live in. And one of the things I'm really passionate about is traveling in a conscious way. And one of the things that I do to be able to is hiking and hitchhiking journey. So sometimes I, like, for example, the border between Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan, crossing it on foot and not having any carbon emissions. I would do is I would opt for homestays instead of like chain hotels or luxury resorts. I don't do all inclusives, and I prefer immersive travel experience because I know that it really gives back to the community and there is less waste. And other things that I try to do is that I always, when I go to a place with local artisans, other things that I do is I support small scale local tour operators that you will need to visit, you know, and really take you to places. And you can see it in front of your eyes because that's how you build community.
Yeah.
We can, because it's not the way to do that. Right. We can't, you know, travel is a very colonial thing, right?
Yep.
It's rooted from the first explorers who were sent out to circumnavigate the spices, discover resources, and it ended up excluded. And for us to be able to travel better, we need to decolonize it, right? And so these are my ways. You can start from like eating local, you know, eating the food that you see there, looking for local produce if you prefer to cook your own. Besides that, supporting like your local small-time entrepreneurs, mom and pop, the chance to generate more revenue. You're giving back to them. The things that you can do is to always offset your, but if there is a chance to travel over trains, you know, calculate where and what transport is the most efficient. And try it. Go through hiking, you know, explore slowly. We're so caught up in this bucket that sometimes we have to take it in. And sometimes our actions have. So all of these things. And always remember, we can't be 100% sustainable when it comes to becoming travel.
Absolutely.
100% perfect in terms of giving this impact, positive impact in the people and the communities. Some of us not have the time or the access or the money. What we can do is to have a small part, you know, contribute it, make more impact by researching positions. If you lack one thing, for example, all right, but try to support a local community. Maybe you can volunteer from an artisan instead of like this manual. Right? So there is always a way to curb your impact travel. You can also do that in your everyday life. So don't aim to be perfect. Just aim, do more than do that. And if that's all you can do, then be content with that. Because when our efforts are pulled together, impact when it comes to traveling in a way that positively impacts the planet and the people. The things that you were talking about, like travel accessibility, well, you know, if do not have really is I come from a, you know, a weak country, a country where we're stereotyped as, and to be able to travel in the way you have to really give blood, sweat and tears, you know, and I struggles. My friend from Azerbaijan, he is an amazing guy. He is crazier than he walks. He walked from Baku. He was wanting to walk from Baku to Vladivostok. And now he's cycling all of South, I think South America. He did all of Africa, the same thing. And he's from Azerbaijan, another country that's not very strong in terms of passport, right? Yeah. And I've seen how he struggled with it in border guards, you know, immigration control. And I have the same thing.
Right.
And there's a lot of us out here who's trying to push back these boundaries, you know.
Right.
And there's a lot of us out here who are trying to tell these bureaucracies that, hey, you know, people of color like us, we can travel too. You cannot generalize us.
Exactly.
There's a lot of us. So if you are coming from a weak country, you know, with a weak passport, don't be discouraged, because it might be a really long and painful gap without any guarantee. And that's the worst part. You don't have any guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
But by fighting, by taking up space, we're proving to them, we're trying to be travelers. We want to be travelers. We want to be heard. And I think more than the people who come from these underprivileged countries or excluded countries in terms of travel mobility, I think the travel in itself is really inaccessible. You know, it's not just for weak passports. Have you tried, like, have you looked at how travel is accessible for people with disabilities, or for people from certain religions, for people mm-hmm. with certain names like Muhammad? They get denied visas all the time. They do not have the facilities for, that are friendly for, you know, wheelchairs. Right. And they do not have like Braille everywhere in museums. Yeah. Travel, if we really believe in global citizenship, if we really believe that, hey, travel connects people, travel teaches you new cultures, if we really believe in this, then why is it only available to certain groups, to certain people, right?
Yep.
And we've been talking about all of it a while ago, like, you know, in terms of passport, in terms of gender, in terms of even sexuality, right? In terms of religion, race, or nationality, travel is really inaccessible. And so each one of us, especially if you're from an excluded community, we really need to fight back. And we really need to change. And if you are from a privileged community, you need to help us level the playing field. Because if you believe in all of these things, then you should use your voice to speak up and to make this travel space a more inclusive space. My dream is that one day the bureaucracies will realize that the visa system is really a scam. And I could go into history for this, but in short, you know, it's been used to keep people out, refugees, people who need to travel, right? It's been used to segregate us, to divide us. And I don't think it should be the case, because we need unity now more than ever. And we need to learn from each other. We need to embrace each other. We need to have all of these similarities and differences and just, you know, understand them. And we're not going to be able to achieve that if we just gatekeep travel. If the entire world just, you know, closes their eyes. And it's not just for those who travel as a privilege. It's those, for those who travel out of need, out of safety, right? They want to seek shelter. It's for them too. We need to really break down these borders. But I think I could give a few tips, you know, if you're starting with a weak passport. And if you're listening to this podcast, have your documents ready, you know, have all of your financial statements, all of your proof of employment, all of your assets ready, all of your hotel bookings, flight bookings, even not a real flight, a flight reservation, it will do. Other things that you need to prepare yourself, try to travel to visa-free countries first, before you actually get to visa required countries. It's going to cement your status as a traveler. Make sure to check the list that the embassy will give you. And when you show up in an interview, always look at them as if you're a traveler. Do not let them look down at you, because they will. And they will ask you the humanizing questions, like, are you a terrorist? You're going to commit crime in this country? Are you going to get married in this country, you know, out of poverty?
Yeah.
Don't let these questions get to you. The visa system is a dehumanizing system. And at the end of the day, always, always, never put your worth in these visas. Because at the end of the day, even if you have all of the true documents, and I will tell you this, the decision lies in the man or the woman behind the glass box. And I have yet to meet somebody without any bias in the life. without any favorites, without any stereotypes in the life. Mm-hmm. It's a scam. So do not put your worth as a traveler in this. Mm-hmm. You deserve to be on the road as much as a white person does, as much as a privileged person does. Remember that. And if we have to struggle to get this place, then we will. Because we will pave the next generation of travelers this way for the next generation. We're going to pave that way. And we're going to build it and make it better. So take your place, take up your space, be loud, be unapologetic, and be proud. That's it.
I love that. I thank you for sharing that. It's such a great thing. And when you said about, you know, inclusivity doesn't only involve people from weaker passports, mm-hmm. but also people with disability, people with different people from different race and religion and everything. I didn't even think about it. And actually, that's like,
yeah.
It's like a whole mountain of things. Like it's just barely scratched the surface. But yeah.
And accessibility is always an afterthought for everything, absolutely. Right? It's not just like in terms of financial accessibility, but really like, you know, there's a lot of restaurants, there's a lot of hotels or hostels that do not even think if they will have like a traveler who has a disability, who is like, you know, in a wheelchair or who needs a walking stick to be able to detect like where they're going. It's really difficult for them, right? It's smaller spaces and stuff like that. It's really an afterthought. So it can't be. And I think people like us, you know, we have this responsibility to not make it an afterthought. Because we need to really make this change so that more people can get to enjoy travel as much as we do.
Absolutely. I really love that idea and that thing that, you know, it should be more accessible. I think I didn't even have that in mind, but that's so true because we see that almost on a day-to-day basis in restaurants and everywhere we go. We don't even consider that those people are traveling. So actually, this is something that maybe people should start thinking about as well and having conversations regarding that and not just generalize the travelers and seeing them as like one particular kind. Mm-hmm. So I'm like really like your work and everything that you're doing is really inspiring. And I really wish that it goes like it reaches more people because this is something that a lot more people need to hear about travel and that, you know, it's not just limited to one specific stereotype or one specific kind of personality or profile, but something that is like more people should be doing, especially coming from country like ours and background like ours. And I think it's just so inspiring to just learn about your journey and everything. I'd just like to like ask you one final question before we go. Mm-hmm. What's next for you? Like, where are you going next? I know you're in Ukraine right now and you said something about you're going to leave or something. So what's next for you in your life? What are you looking forward to?
Honestly, living in a war zone, it's really hard to predict. Especially if you know that your life is at risk. But for at least for the half probably of next year, I will be based here, continuing to do the humanitarian work. So I run a social impact travel blog under Kristen Kaladkaren. And its mission is to give back to the communities that I meet along the way, communities that have welcomed me. And I think this is like the full circle of my journey. After having all of these acts of kindness, it's my turn to pass it on.
Right.
So my plan for next year or like, you know, for my next chapter of my adventure is really to focus on this. Because I rarely see it in a lot of travel content creators. Mm-hmm. And I want to introduce a way that we can travel that transforms the world and touches, you know, a million lives.
Yeah.
Or not even a million, like 1,000, or not even 1,000. Even if you just touch a single life, you could change that world, right?
Yeah.
And this is my goal, to be able to use my travel privilege, no matter how small it is, to be able to do my part in making change happen. And I really want to travel more of Europe next year. I'm hoping that the fund will be able to run without me. so that I can also get some mental health breaks. Yeah. I still have a goal to hike the entire Lycian Way. So it will be one of my first official through hikes that I will get to document. I want to work with sustainable brands and to use that walk to be able to raise funds as well.
Amazing.
And, you know, I just want to be alive for that. I want to still keep living and keep loving people and keep giving back to people.
And that's amazing.
Just to, you know, inspire more people to do the same.
Yeah.
That's absolutely. It.
love that. And like you are living the life the way it should be lived. I really feel like that. You're just doing it right. You're doing life right. This is how exactly everyone should be living. But only few of them can do it. Not everyone is as brave as you. But yeah, thank you so much for sharing all of that, your story and your adventure and everything, despite all the challenges that you had. And I'm so glad we made this happen. I'm so glad we could speak and, you know, share all of this. And yeah, it was so amazing speaking to you. And people, anyone who's listening to this podcast, you can follow Kristen on her Instagram. If you want to share that, you share a handle with people, then please feel free to do so. And I know that you're doing some work, so if people can contribute or reach out to you in any ways, let them know. And yeah, that's how we'll probably move towards the end and wrap up this podcast today.
Okay. So if you want to subscribe to my adventures and support my many advocacies, which include travel accessibility, sustainable travel, and giving back to the communities that I meet along the way, you can follow along at Kristen Kaladkarin, KrystenKaladkarin. So that's my blog handle. You can find it across all social media platforms, from Instagram to YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Clubhouse, where Sam and I actually ran into each other. You can also find it in Pinterest. And I also have a website. And if you want to support our causes and be part of our giving community, you are free to do so. Head over to my Instagram, Kristen Kaladkarin. Click on the link in bio. There is a tip jar there where you can contribute to our efforts here in providing humanitarian and medical aid to the residents of heavily bombarded areas and temporarily occupied territories in Ukraine, as well as internally displaced Ukrainians in Western Ukraine, where I am currently based. There are other ways you can contribute and be part of our giving community. You can send through PayPal, Payoneer, Western Union, MoneyGram, direct bank transfer. If you have any questions about this, feel free to DM me. And if you wish to support our volunteer team and my content creation efforts, feel free to also be part of my exclusive Patreon community, or send me a gift or buy me a coffee to help me keep warm in this winter, because this is the harshest winter Ukraine has ever witnessed since World War II. And by buying me one cup of coffee, you ensure me one day of warm. So if you want to be part of all of these things, and if you want to use travel to be able to transform the world, and if you believe in everything that we do and in everything that we stand for, I highly suggest you to head over to my page, help me grow, because by helping me grow, it really means that we can give back to more communities and we can create more positive change in the world and inspire other travelers to do the same. So at the end of the day, I'm not doing this content creation and this storytelling for me. I'm doing it for everybody that I stand up for. This is also their story and this is also their fight. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for sharing all that. And everyone who's listening, please make sure you do. If you have any questions, feel free to DM me as well. And yeah, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope you were able to enjoy it as much as I did. So I'll see you in the next episode with a new guest. Until then, take care and have a good day. Bye.
Bye, guys.